Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, Adam Ray hangs out. We do a hilarious news. Then we talk to, during the sports, we talk to a documentarian who's done a 30 for 30 on Pistorius, the guy without the legs who's accused of killing his, well, convicted of killing his girlfriend, Oscar Pistorius. It's a very interesting story and interview, so that's coming up. First, I'll tell you about True Niagen. I've been taking a daily supplement called True Niagen for about 6 months now, and I feel great. NAD is a vital cellular resource that supports daily functions like eating, sleeping, and even breathing. As we get older, NAD levels may decline by as much as 50% due to stressors like aging, alcohol, lack of exercise, and sun exposure. When NAD levels are low, cells have a harder time producing, and they're not getting the energy they need to perform at their best. There's only one NAD supplement I trust, True Niagen, backed by 11 clinical studies, Nobel Prize winning scientists, and global regulatory acceptance. True Niagen supports healthy aging. Make age just a number at TRUNIAGEN.com. TrueNiagen.com. Go today. Use the code Adam at checkout. Get $20 off any 3 month or more order until October 1st.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, Adam's crystal brain strikes again because Helsinki Airport is implementing COVID sniffing dogs. And apparently it's going quite well. It's a pilot project. And there have been several studies that have found dogs are able to smell the virus with almost 100% accuracy. They can even detect the virus before any symptoms are present. The dogs being used in Helsinki's airport pilot program do not come in direct contact with anyone. So, and it's voluntary. But
you
what you
said,
do is,
you said pilot program and then you said airport.
It's good.
A little hidden Easter egg for you.
I got
AM,
PM, and carb load, but yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, he's gotten so much dumber with those taquitos. So what they do is you wipe your skin, you drop it in a cup, and then the dogs smell the cup and then detect whether or not you're sick.
You know, it turns out fucking dogs can do anything if you just give them a treat. Like, they could fly the fucking plane if someone had enough jerky treats. Like, it turns out dogs just can do anything or won't do anything. Just it's all incentive. They think they're looking for their fucking toy.
It's a game.
I talked to police dog guy, like Wrangler, and he said even the police dog that attacks you thinks he's playing. They all want their sock toy. They have these little, they get them with these little kind of sock toy things, and that's all they want. And once they find your, 10 kilos of heroin, they get their sock toy. That's it.
They're not even remotely interested in the heroin.
Not at all. And by the way, it could be heroin. It could be cancer. It could be venereal diseases, which I've said they should be able to sniff that shit out. Next time you throw a big party at them, put them by the door, right? Put the dog, just have them sit by the door. That's all. All the chicks walking in and sundresses. If the dog starts chasing its tail, she's got to be escorted out through the side door. See you, Cindy. They can sniff anything. They can do anything. They just want their fucking toy. That's it.
I wouldn't want to live in a world. Okay. Would you rather have no sense of smell or the sense of smell of a dog? Because I don't think I could handle being able to smell that much.
Well,
ask Dawson.
I think, Dawson doesn't have a good sense of smell. Here's my belief, Gina Grad. I've learned this from watching the movie Defending Your Life. We've talked about this Rip Torn.
Yep. The little brains.
The food tasted different to him, and it tasted horrible to the little brain people, but to him, this bitter mush was delectable. So I think once your sense of smell gets so acute, it actually, all the stuff you smell turns into something delectable because it's processed through that, through the little brain. Or the big brain.
This is damn exciting stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait a second. Does this dovetail somehow into dogs eating shit?
I don't know. I can't explain it. I think they're dogs.
That is the great thing, too, that is like, you know, so it's a double-edged sword with dogs where it's like they'll solve some amazing case and then moments later be, you know, going down on themselves or eating somebody's shit. And so you're like, all right, like this is probably what stopped real forward movement on trying to get them to take on bigger tasks like
eating poop. Right.
Yeah. But also, you know, but also maybe they're just one step ahead of the game. Maybe they're just getting poo in its freshest state because we haven't really gone down that path. Right. I mean, like I can speak for probably most of us here that we've never eaten somebody else's shit.
And at maybe least half of us.
Yeah.
Majority, yeah.
So it's like, you know, how do we, maybe these dogs are know something we don't, you know, but I do think, is it only dogs that they're trying to get to be a part of this COVID training or why do cats?
Well, cats, we've talked about this before, but cats aren't as trainable. They're more instinct. But we have talked before about the cat. They called it like the cat of death or the grim cat or whatever. At nursing homes would go sleep on one of the patient's beds. And the next day that patient would die. And they needed to reconstruct it. The cat wasn't killing these people. The cat was sniffing out who was really sick and staying with them.
Also, dogs and cats.
Just dynamite.
Like if you take a dog and you go, you want a jerky treat? They go like, yeah, 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 yeah. Like, what do you need? Like, sure, boss. And then you go to a cat, you want a treat? And they're like, I don't need your charity, bitch.
Like,
so they have a different attitude. You can't, they can't,
defiant.
They can't be bought. You know what I mean? They're like punk rockers. You can't buy them.
Chumbawamba.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My rich stepdad says he'll get me a BMW if I don't drop out of college. Fuck off, dude. That's what cats do.
Cats don't even call their dad's dad. They call him like, fuck you, Dustin.
That's like, right. Oh, they call my first name.
Yeah.
Well, Adam, I know you both, I imagine both Adams have seen this already, but just in case you have a thought or two, our governor here, Gavin Newsom, has issued an executive order that will ban sales of gas-powered cars, new gas-powered cars, by 2035, and I think trucks by 2040. Newsom said the move is designed to improve the quality of air and cut down the greenhouse gases that are creating climate change. The signing of the order comes 2 weeks after Newsom vowed to fast-track the state's environmental plans as a result of climate dam emergency. That's when he said the hots were getting hotter and the wets were getting wetter.
Yeah.
But so here's our problem, I realize. So a couple things. First off, by 2035, most people will opt for an electric car just in general. You know, they're already, we're already about there. They're going to get cheaper. The range is going to get longer. We don't have a power grid that can support an all electric fleet. We have a fucking power grid that if too many people turn on their air conditioning in July, we get rolling blackouts. So, hey, Governor, you may want to think about how we're going to power these cars before you make the decree. Number one. Number two, nobody who can afford a new car is going to be living in California 15 years from now. Everyone's just going to move out. There'll be homeless people jousting in the streets on bicycles, but nobody, no taxpayer is going to live in this fucking dump. I mean, Newsom is going to run the fucking place into the ground, and then everyone's going to just move to Texas or Nashville or whatever. Everyone's going to move. So this is it's a moot point because no one's going to live here.
Right.
Also, the thing that drives me nuts about hearing Newsom talk, and maybe this is a problem with living in California. You guys tell me. Max Zapata, sorry, but you can find him making the announcement probably online. So here's an interesting thing. When you live in Idaho or you live in Montana, you're not out there setting trends like Beyonce. You know what I mean? You're like, we want low unemployment. We want to work on the homeless problem. We'd like to get the test scores up at the schools. I've lived in California my whole life. And the problem is the fucking politicians are like, hey, we're California. We lead the world.
Yeah, we lead
the
world. Example.
We set the standard for the world. Yeah. We're going to outlaw this and know that, and we're going to do it because we're going to do with the rest of the world. Sweden's going to be jealous of us when they find out just how much shit, how many regulations we lay out on taxpayers and businesses and consumers. And I was like, I don't want to lead the world. Take care of the fucking homeless problem. get the schools up and running, clean up your fucking filthy towns, and get your shit together with unemployment and traffic. And then we can look at setting an example of being a shining beacon on the hill. It fucking, that's, he's so enamored with, like, we're going to lead the world with all this shit. Meanwhile, we got 65,000 homeless people strewn all over the place. How about we do some super boring pedestrian shit, like clean up the homeless problem and a little less announcing to the world how we're on the vanguard of everything. Sorry, Maxipad, yeah. Do you have that?
I'm looking. Right. I'm scrolling through.
Yeah, it's a downfall of living in California. Everyone feels like we have to one up the next guy in leading the world. Hmm. Right.
Interesting. Thing I just looked up because it's what you said, Adam, sparked. I wonder how many hybrid cars they do sell, hybrid electric. What all considered, what percent of the market share? What percentage of new cars sold do you think are electric or plug-in or hybrids?
Around the country, California. Let's say a new car sold today.
Yep, not used cars, just new cars.
That's either all electric or hybrid.
Yeah, a plug-in, which covers all hybrids and electrics, and yeah.
Well, plug-in is plug-in, and then there's plug-in hybrid, like, because you couldn't have hybrid because that has an internal combustion engine.
They don't count non-plug-in hybrids.
Oh, so you couldn't do a Prius?
I don't know. Do you plug in a Prius? I genuinely don't know. I have no idea.
Well, there's plug-in electric, which is purely electric, an electric car. Like they have electric cars. A Tesla. And then there's a Prius, which has an internal combustion engine in it, which wouldn't go well. But if we're including the Prius, which I don't know if we are or not. If it's pure plug-in, it's very low. If it's hybrid electric included in the Prius, then it's, I don't know, 15% or 20%.
Does anyone know if you actually plug in a Prius?
You can plug in Priuses, and it's called a plug-in hybrid. So it still uses gas, but most models you don't
but
plug in the
pure
Prius.
Pure electric is low. Hybrid and electric would probably be higher.
Yeah, your first guess is very close. 13.4% as of December of last year.
For pure electric.
Covers plug-in electrics and pure electric. So the only ones it doesn't count are hybrids.
All pure electrics are plug-in.
I misspoke. Sorry, plug-in hybrids. I misspoke.
Oh, okay.
I just got a text from my brother-in-law, rapper Dirte, listening live, I guess, right now. And he said, do they have hybrids for plug-in sex dolls? I don't know what that means, but I don't know if that's he's trying to set
We're right at the beginning. As I said, my kids are 14. If I bought them a car today, it'd be kind of a coin toss. But their first new car will be electric. Like, it's happening. It's happening fast.
You said, the technology is just at warp speed right now where we are. Don't you think by the time they're, well, or maybe, I don't know, maybe a few, maybe by the time they're college age, the gas powered car will go the way of the stick shift?
Yeah.
Like, I had one of those.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. The question is really the grid. And then what we need to do, what I always wanted to do is everyone have all their roof shingles solar. Everyone gets solar roof shingles. So you're not putting big panels on top of your roof. Your roof is a solar collector. They have shingles.
Make those?
Yeah. They make shingles. Everything is too expensive right now, but they make solar powered, they make solar shingles. All of those then feed a big wall battery, the big battery wall that you have down in your basement, and then you charge your car off the stored energy and run your house off the stored energy of the wall brick or the wall. I can't remember what they call them. Tesla
calls it the whole home battery.
Tesla makes one. I think like Mitsubishi or something makes one. A few companies make one. So you create. You charge up your house's batteries, essentially, and then you power your car.
What do people in Alaska do, or people that have an hour of daylight in the winter?
I don't know. And then we have a huge 200 million acre forest fire because we don't manage our forests. Then all the fucking air gets 10 times more polluted. But, sorry, you have the clip. We're on the vanguard, or we're leading the way.
if we're going to achieve our audacious goals. And as a consequence, today we are marking a new course. We are setting a new marker. We're advancing the cause with the support of the California Air Resources Board to once again lead not only this nation, but in many respects lead the world in terms of establishing a framework where we can accelerate innovation, we can accelerate adaptation.
All right, we're going to lead the world, but we also lead the world in fucking homelessness and taxes. So can we work a little bit on that shit, too?
The street perpendicular to where I live looks like the outdoor activity department at REI. And it's like, and it's a different clientele. It's like, you're like, oh, cool. Is that, did REI kind of adjust and do some outdoor business? And then you see a guy jerking off being like, you stole my Diet Fresca. And you're like, oh, I guess this is actually just Sunset Boulevard.
Adam, good point. Adam Carolla, rich man, poor man, has multiple tents.
Yes. And does business in a tent. You have one of those big auto auctions in Scottsdale.
Right. Are you the guy that was feverishly jerking off when I drove by or when I was walking into Pinkberry and there was
guilty.
A guy who screamed, I got some toppings for you. And I laughed and I bought him a Pinkberry, but I never saw his face because he just reached his hand out the tent. Was that?
Yeah, he did Purpleberry. My feeling is as long as there's this huge throngs of people sleeping outside and defecating on the sidewalk, we can't talk about goals for 2035. Let's just fucking patch this up, stop the bleeding, triage all the homeless and out of work and all the mess and all the filth. You know what I mean? Like you can't keep your own fucking state and city clean. Like let's take care of the filth. It's so dirty. Let's work on that. And then we'll get to the loftier goals. I was kind of, I was talking to Dr. Drew about this, and I was talking to him and I was saying, it is weird because here in California, it's like we have a school system that is basically failing, but we talk about the future. You know, we're talking about like we're going to be driving around in hovercrafts and we have this failing school system and lots of.
Not with this graduating class.
Right. All this debt for all the unions and all this, like we're broke and we have debt and we have all this homelessness. And I was like, why are we talking about these sort of lofty futuristic goals? And I realize it's a signal. It suggests you're out of problems if you're doing this. So it's meaning like if I said to you guys, like, let's just say you just met me and I said, oh, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm thinking about doing my whole garage in stainless steel cabinetry, storage, full extension, Accuride slides on all the doors, Euro hinges on it. You wouldn't picture my kitchen being a rat infested mess, would you? No, because like I'm talking about this other thing. You know, like I'm going to do my garage and do all stainless. Oh, maybe I'll do a powder coated or anodized. And you'd be going, God, this person must have their shit together. Yeah. They're talking about putting high-end equipment, high-end cabinetry in their garage, but you would never picture my bathroom was a fucking mess filled with mildew. And I wonder if we do that in California. Like we go, here's our idea. Here's what we want. And then you start talking about some crazy, lofty, futuristic something. Meanwhile, there's people just strewn about all over the street. And maybe it's your psychological way of saying, don't mind them. Let's talk about our goals for 2035.
Yeah, it's a misdirect.
Feels a little more lofty, and it feels like we should be in nuts and bolts mode. Like we should be, and we got to fix the economy. We're running a deficit now. We're in debt. We got to get the school system fixed. And then when all that stuff gets fixed up, then we can talk about hitting our goals for 2035 when all of us will have been stabbed by a drifter by then. So hopefully, God willing. Yeah,
if I walk into the doctor with a mouthful of herpes and he's like, what's going on with that tennis elbow?
Right.
Dude, you need to focus on the big issues.
That's right.
Like all this. And you're like, we'll get to that. It's going to take care of itself. Let's get that elbow back to, you can do that chicken dance.
Maxipata. You got to write down rich man, poor man does business in a tent because you go to those big time car auctions and there's a guy selling a Duesenberg for $10 million in a tent or you're just selling a little fentanyl from the side of the Pinkberry there. All right. Let me hit bet online and then we'll carry on with the news. The wait, that's what I was going to say, is finally over. Football is back, Jack. That's the fact, Jack. We love it. Good games coming up this weekend as well. Rams at Bills, Texans at Steelers, Packers at Saints, Titans at Vikings, Buccaneers, Broncos. Well, it's going to be a good game. Raiders and Patriots. I'm very interested in the Raiders at the Patriots because the Patriots look great. Raiders 2-0. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads and totals to props, and get in on season opening bonuses and wager on a win, or you can look at division championship futures. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit BetOnline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, what else we got, Gina Grand?
So you know how we brought up at the beginning of Dancing with the Stars the commercial that aired right before Carol Baskin's big dance number?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, if you know anything that happened to Don Lewis or if Carol Baskin was involved, please call the following number. Well, they are not letting up because she's being sued by the family of the missing husband now. And here's why. In court documents obtained by TMZ, Don Lewis's daughters claim Carol was complicit with jokes about Don's death on Dancing with the Stars. When judges brought up the TikTok videos that inspired her storyline in Tiger King. Chris, do we have those? It'll sound very familiar. This is the, and there's tons of these, but I just pulled one little clip of someone doing it.
Carol Baskin killed her husband, whacked him. Can't convince me that it didn't happen. Fed him to tigers, they snacking. What's happening? Carol Baskin.
So they're joking about that little parody song. It's parodying Megan Thee Stallion, Savage. And now they're suing.
I thought there was something. I watch TMZ religiously, as you know.
Oh, so yeah. Please fill me in on the details.
Yeah.
What's
Raven Simone drinking when she gets off when she gets off the airport?
She's just like you and me. She's drinking a Yoo-Hoo.
No shit.
They did a thing on this and I was sort of half watching because I'm not that interested in her, but they went to Derek Huff and he said, like, you killed it out there.
Yeah.
And I think that was part of their problem, although it's pretty spurious, right? I mean, he's just saying,
you really killed that dance. You really just chopped it up out of nowhere and fed it to you fed that dance to some tigers and buried it in a lagoon somewhere near your house.
Gina, you know what's going on with this case. I didn't watch 1 second of Tiger King.
Well,
so what is going on?
I watched it very begrudgingly. I was very vocal about the fact that I hated this docuseries. I thought it totally glorified animal abuse and in the sense that, like, oh my God, these people are so shocking. No, watch Gummo. Watch The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
Gummo.
There's crazy people you can watch. You can see crazy people wherever you want. And for some reason, this felt like new and shocking to people. I don't know why. So one of the storylines is that what's his name? The lead
Joe
guy.
Exotic.
Joe Exotic.
Jesus Christ,
Joe Exotic,
thank you. Sorry. I hated this thing. Yeah. Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin are feuding because Carol wants him to shut down his park because she says he abuses the animals. So he hates her and he's constantly threatening to kill her. Well, he ended up in actual jail for that because he did end up apparently hiring a hitman and the hitman backed out and somebody tugged at this thread and the whole sweater came apart and now he's in prison.
All right, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Adam Ray?
Yeah.
You be the owner of a big cat park.
You got it.
And you tell me, I'm just a dude. I'm the meter reader. You know, I'm there reading the meter. You know what I mean? And you tell me, you go, what's that crazy broad accusing you of? And then you go, she's accusing me of abusing the big cats. And then when I acknowledge that, you pause and go, sexually abusing the big cats. And we'll see how this works. You ready? Mm-hmm. Hey, pal, what's that crazy broad with the blonde hair over there bitching about?
Man, I'll tell you what she's doing, man. She's accusing me. First of all, she's accused me of stealing all the fucking turnstile hot dogs at the AMPM down the street, which is fucking bullshit because my dad fucking works here. I get that fucking shit for free.
Good call, man.
Second of all, she's accused me of fucking abusing the animals.
You're abusing those beautiful, majestic animals? What kind of coward are you?
You know, I don't know. I'm not, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not a coward. I'm a fucking, I, you know, a fucking... I don't even pull my zipper down all the way when I take a piss. I just fucking pee inside my pants. I fucking throw them out and get a new pair because I'm a fucking gangster like that. Mm. But I'm getting accused of some fucking bullshit. They're saying I'm abusing these animals sexually.
Sexually? Holy.
Sexually.
You're abusing sexually a Bengal tiger? Holy
Apparently,
shit. Oh, fucking up top. Up top, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's
thanks,
awesome.
Dude.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
I know.
Hey,
it's pretty dope.
Your next month is free. Use as much energy. Leave the space heater on, going right into the oscillating fan.
That's what I'm talking
it's
about.
It's on me, brother.
You got some turnstile hot dogs coming your way.
Anybody cool. sneaks up behind a 1,300-pound Bengal tiger is fucking okay by me, dude.
I know, dude. They don't see it coming until I do.
Adam, I got bad news for you, Adam. Yeah. Well, the Dancing with the Stars odds have shifted quite a bit. Oh, the new favorite to win, Caitlin Bristow at +150, almost even Whoa. Money. Mm. I don't know. Have you been doing fantastic on the show? Shit. Johnny Weir is still 3 to 1.
Adam has money on Johnny Weir.
I got buku bucks on Johnny Weir. Johnny, are you weird, boy? Is your love for real, boy? When the lights are low. You know that song?
Mm-mm.
You don't know Johnny, are you weird, boy?
No.
Johnny, are you weird, boy? Come on. Come on. Surreal. Surreal day on the Adam Carolla Show. Come on. Find Johnny, are you weird, boy? Come on now.
We're getting it.
So,
Oh, yeah.
I love this song.
This has a very video killed the radio star.
Yeah. Dancing with that gay boy. Hey, are you weird? Because I put 5 large on your ass. I'd hate to find that you gave it a pass. All right. Johnny, are you weird, boy?
Who is that?
That's Josie Cotton. Is that Josie Cotton?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
wow.
It's Josie Cotton. Mm-hmm. Yeah, had wow. a whole bunch of hits. She had Johnny, are you queer? Johnny, are you bi? Johnny, are you transitioning? Johnny, are you bi curious?
Are you questioning?
Johnny, I need a fake date to the prom. There was all Johnny. It was all Johnny.
Johnny, will you be my beard boy?
Yes. Yeah. It was all sort of about sexual proclivities, and the guy's
Johnny,
name is always Johnny.
Surgery? Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So police in Vietnam have confiscated an estimated 345,000 used condoms, which had been cleaned and resold as new.
Ooh.
Footage broadcast by state-owned Vietnam television.
It's got to be a rough gig, right? I like that. All right. This is my park bench game I like to play. The one guy has a job. He just got off a 12-hour shift of cleaning used condoms. And the other guy works in the kitchen of an Outback steakhouse. And he starts complaining about the job. You know what I mean?
Dishes come back half eaten. They're disgusting. Kids turn their fucking food inside out. One kid puked on the food.
So you got a plate with half a blooming onion on it, huh?
Yeah, it's gross. It's been out there for 45 minutes. People didn't touch it. It's such a smell. It's gooey. It's horrible.
I bet one time you probably got a little barbecue sauce on one of your cuticles.
Huh, a little buddy. My hands come back caked in that shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know what I do for a living?
Well, it can't be worse than what I do, but let's hear it.
Yeah. I clean fucking boy batter off of spent condoms. You want to smell my fucking hand? It smells
what
like...
What restaurant do you work for?
You sound like a Chili's guy.
It's not everyone works in a restaurant just because you work in a restaurant. Oh,
so I bet you're wondering how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the police said the bags weighed more than 794 pounds, equal to about 345,000 condoms. A woman detained during the bust told police that the used condoms were first boiled in water, then dried and reshaped on a wooden phallus before being repackaged and sold. Not clear how many of the recycled condoms actually were purchased by others, but right now at least they saved almost 350,000 of them from being on the street.
Well, this sounds gross, but it could be grosser. Like, well, what's the process? Well, we go ahead and dip them in hot water. We clean them. We put them on a wood phallus buck. Then we dry them. Then we dry them. Then we go ahead and color them multicolors, and then we hand them to the clowns that work at the kids' parties.
Yeah, I've actually hired several of these clowns. And, you know, here's my
you got condom clowns?
Your condom clowns, they're actually way cheaper than birthday clowns because if for a normal birthday clown, you have to pay for the extra balloons. And also, there's a lot more cleanup with the condom clown. Okay, they're only making one animal. Okay, it's just a big old snake. Okay, you don't have to worry about your kids guessing, is that a parakeet or a land moose? Okay, and also there's certain jobs that you don't want that I don't want, and we're recycling. And every year, people don't know this, I go down to New Orleans and I just dig up condoms from the beach and clean them out and give them out to trick-or-treaters, you know, and unfortunately we're going to miss out on that opportunity this year. But I still would like to make people aware that if they go to Phil.com, you can get your own new condom from Dr. Phil, and it's been tested. I've used it myself, and you'll get to, you know, feel what I get to feel, which is,
I'm sorry, is that Phil with an F.com? We're talking about condoms?
Or with an F, yeah. You can just imagine what Stephanie, what the inside of Stephanie Powers feels like. That's what my condoms feel like.
A lot of good callbacks. All right, let me hit a spot here, and then we'll keep going with the news. NetSuite, if you got a business and you're a business owner and you want to run your business right, you know, it can be tough out there. You want to make things easy, not tough. So that's where NetSuite comes in. Don't let QuickBooks or spreadsheets slow you down. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the info you need when you need it. Upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud-based business system. Get visibility and control over financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more all in one place instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million in business or hundreds of millions in business and revenue, save time, save money. Go with NetSuite. Right, Dawson?
Join the over 21,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite know how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/Adam. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Adam. netsuite.com/Adam.
All right, Gina, what else?
So I read this story, this next story, and I immediately thought of Adam's show, Adam Carolla's show, What Went Wrong, where you take Sunny around to Home Depots and places where the elderly are working and just trying to figure out how they're still working and what happened.
Well, still working. I mean, at the Home Depot, but why the old people behind. Just to be clear for Adam Ray, I want to take them to McDonald's and have the 74-year-old behind the counter and just go, what went wrong? What happened? Tell him what happened. What didn't you do? What did you do? Listen up, son. We'll go in the Home Depot and find the 81-year-old guys making $9 an hour working in the plumbing department. I go, what went wrong? Tell them what went wrong. By the way, I'm wildly distracted because Ozzy is just standing in the booth with his arms folded and he hasn't moved.
What?
But
why
I don't know
is
what
Ozzy
he's
there?
I don't know what he's doing. But I feel like he's on the clock, so I don't know what's going on. Is he going to record some stuff?
We ask him, Ozzy, what went wrong?
Go ahead, Ozzy.
Yep. Well, afternoon, everybody. How are you today?
We're good.
Hi, Gina. Good.
Hi. What you working on, Ozzy?
Cleaning the floor.
Cleaning the floor. All right. But what are you doing now?
I'm waiting for you for the main intrusion for tomorrow.
What?
Say it again.
What is Madam Millonario, man?
I'm waiting for you for you give me intrusion for tomorrow.
Instructions for tomorrow. All right. Here's instruction for today. Get the fuck back to work. And then when I'm done, I'll tell you what I want for tomorrow.
I done for today. I get out 3 o'clock. I come in 8 o'clock.
Oh, then I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
I apologize.
I know.
It's knockoff time. All right. Well, go somewhere where you're not making me nervous because you're just staring at me through the glass. I don't know what the purpose is. And then I'll come up something good for you to do tomorrow.
Take him to Panera.
I'm taking you to Panera tomorrow. I now have a context. Ozzy was just standing looking at me the whole time. I didn't know what he wanted. I was going to record something. Now, it's the greatest accent in the world, is it not?
Yeah, really. Yeah. It's one of
it's glorious.
Favorites.
All right. Sorry, go
complex.
Ahead.
An 89-year-old pizza delivery man in Utah has become famous on social media that he didn't know existed and ultimately earned a $12,000 tip. And I'm going to show you the video in a second. When ordering from the Papa John's in Roy, Utah, the members of the Valdez family always request that their pizza be delivered by Derlin Nui, the 89-year-old. And the Valdezes have frequently shared videos of Nui's deliveries to their TikTok page, where the pizza man has won a kind of a fan base.
Yeah, after make sure you send the old white guy. We're not paying less than the old white guy.
After several fans asked why he's still working at this age, which I don't believe he answered, Carlos Valdez reportedly decided to raise money for him. They gathered over $12,000 on TikTok, and here's a clip. And you can call it right now.
She got a nose earring. Blah.
I went back and went to sleep. Yeah. I thought maybe you'd give me a t-shirt.
A t-shirt?
La, 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 la. Okay, is that a Spanish thing?
Together as a community, we all were donating 50 cents to a dollar for you. And collectively, because there was thousands of people that loved you and love you, we collected over $12,000 for you.
That's all yours.
All yours.
No.
Yes.
How come? Why would you do such a thing?
They love you, so they wanted to give you a present.
Oh my gosh, I don't believe it. I don't believe this.
Yes, that's all yours.
And we did nothing. We were just the vessel.
Yeah.
It's everybody here on TikTok. They're the ones that made this possible, and they did this for you.
Yep.
I don't believe this.
All right, so we got it. It's wonderful. We go out
headstone. Guy's dead wife out of $2 million insurance policy.
We're going out headstone shopping after this. Sorry for being a dude.
Did he just go to Vegas and put it all on the Steelers? Like, what? Do we have confirmation that he put it towards something good? Or
when you're 89,
no confirmation.
When you're 89, when you're 89 and someone passes the hat and gets you 12 large, you got to go down to Vegas. Like, at that point,
it's found money.
What are you doing? I'm gonna lease a car that's 3 years old. Like, that's no,
put it on black,
let it ride.
Maybe jump into the fountain. Just fucking do it. At 89, I feel like you got carte blanche to do just about anything, you know. Hop on, say, drop a couple some acid, some Molly, maybe hop on stage during a Cirque du Soleil show, whoop it out.
Molly.
Just say, you know,
I always say secretly jealous. Like, I'm secretly jealous of the people who get a lot of satisfaction. Like, I deliver pizzas. They're always hot. I don't bruise the crust, you know, 6:15 means 6:15, not 6:25. And that's what I do. I love it. You know, these people that get like a lot of, like, you know, the people who like see a painting of a cat and they go, I love it. Oh, I love it. Oh, this would look so good in my entry. Like, I love it. I go, how can you get so excited about a painting of a cat? Like, I'm envious of those people.
So excited, right? To say to people when they're like, you know, Domino's is like pretty good pizza. And they're like, dude, nobody out pizzas the Hut. Like, they get really, and they mean it when they say that. Like, they work there, they buy into it.
Have you seen
brand loyalty to a mediocre brand is a weird thing.
Have you guys seen, there's a new Pizza Hut commercial, and the argument, this is a bridge too far for me, which is like, Pizza Hut, we've seen the way people are delivering your tacos and your burgers, and they're showing like them like falling apart and being thrown down and busting out of the. They've been running the shit out of this commercial. Must be a football thing. I don't know, but it's easy to tune out, not know what the fuck they're talking about. But the conceit is, we understand you're having difficulty getting soft tacos delivered to your house because they're always falling apart or they're messy. Yeah. Good. So we took the soft taco and we put it on a pizza. And it's like, that does not solve my problem.
No. What?
You're not solving my problem, Pizza Hut. They took hamburgers and they made a pizza hamburger and they made a soft taco pizza too. And it's like, we've solved the problem of sloppy delivery. It's like, nah. I think
sounds like something the condom clown brings instead of cake.
You've created a bigger problem. It's called diabetes. It's called adult onset diabetes. And these people are on the porch pumped, like, oh, I got a pizza that has a taco blew a load on.
Well, this is why fast food will never not be a thing, because the dum-dums of America are so weirdly impressed and surprised when like Taco Bell's like the new quesarita, the new bean and cheese burrito without beans. And you're like, oh, that's different. And then next week they'll be like, the beans are back. And right. You're like, oh man, that's a fucking whole new item. No, but, I actually was there 2 weeks ago. They just fucking did a little whoopsie doozle on you.
They don't.
But
yeah,
the tomatoes are a little spicier. Well, see, I told you it's different food.
Now the Taco Bell's whole marketing thing is like, last week we offered you beans, cheese, rice, and beef. This week we're going beef, rice, cheese, and beans. And you go, wait a minute, that's the same. It's the same
new
thing.
Tacos Locos.
It's got a whole new name. It's Tacos Locos. Now you're used to having the beans, rice, cheese, and beef.
Yeah.
This is cheese, beef, rice, and beans.
Holy shit. That's
the new Tacos Locos. Hold on. There's a new Grandos Explosios. That's going to be rice, beans, cheese, and beef.
What the fuck?
All on a flour tortilla. See, what you're used to is a flour tortilla with cheese, rice, beans, and beef on it. This is a flour tortilla with rice, beans, cheese, and beef. Okay?
Where does it come out?
So for breakfast, we do beans, cheese, rice, and cheese and beans. Okay. And then lunch, what we do is we do cheese, beans, rice, and beef. And then for dinner, get ready to be blown away. You'll never guess. For dinner, we go beef, rice, beans, and cheese.
What the fuck?
So it's a totally different experience, all three meals. He just killed himself. Adam Ray just killed himself. Have we found that Pizza Hut? Oh, then maybe it's either Pizza Hut or it's Domino's. No, I think it's Pizza Hut.
Well, Domino's does this thing where they're like, like 2 months ago, this commercial came out where they were like, we realized that delivering pizza to your house can be kind of a tricky adventure.
That's it. Well, there's that one. Yeah, that's Domino's.
But they're
where
like,
the guy
we're
going to
fill
it.
The potholes in your cul-de-sac because the city for sure isn't doing it. So we're going to, by the way, what happened at Domino's where they're like needed to do that to compensate? Like, for sure, they know they were 2 weeks away from a press conference of somebody being like, hey, man, I fucking nutted in all the pepperonis. What do you want from me? They're like, hey, pepperoni fucking boy batter, or we fixed your neighborhood.
That's the one where the guy threw the pizza in the box at the window. So, Max Pata, is it Pizza Hut?
Yeah, I think it's Domino's. I'm loading it up.
All right, what do? You go taco pizza, or you go hamburger pizza, or something like that?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what's going on. Medical grade marijuana everywhere. When I was a kid, this stuff didn't exist. You wanted a taco, you got a taco. You wanted a burger, you got a burger. Nobody had the Burger Raider where we took the taco and then we filled everything with frosting and stuff. This is all for high people. They don't say it, but this is for people that are high as a fucking kite watching these commercials, right?
Dude, yeah, remember they put hot dogs in the crust at one point.
Right. All right, let's see if we have this commercial.
What does Domino's know about tacos and burgers? As delivery experts, we know they shouldn't be delivered like this.
Thanks for the soggy tacos spread across the bottom of my delivery bag.
The burger was wilted.
We hate to see anything delivered poorly.
We wanted to give you a burger that is designed to be delivered.
A taco that was made to deliver right.
A taco from Domino's?
What?
Oh my.
The new Domino's cheeseburger pizza.
This is our new chicken taco pizza.
Now the best way to get a taco or burger delivered.
All right,
delivered.
Well, there you go. By the way... The adults look like special needs adults. Like, oh, and by the way, your grandchildren will be here at noon for a quick visit. Like,
Domino's had the Oreo cookie pizza. That was the first thing I saw when I was in college, baked out of my fucking mind. And the commercial, you're right, they advertised it was so dramatic. It was like, pizza. And you flow in and you're like, I'm listening. And then it's like, Oreo cookies. You're like, go on. Mm-hmm. And then they just kind of fuse them together. And they go, together, finally. And you're like, oh, fuck. Then you take it out, you get some Lubriderm, and they're like, call now to get the first Oreo cookie pizza. It's pizza with a cookie and cheese. And you're just like, it sounds on paper so awful, but you see the slow-mo pictures. It was shot by fucking J.J. Abrams, so it looks just unbelievable.
What is on the burger pizza? Like, did they dare put ketchup or American cheese or lettuce? I mean, other than ground beef, what? Yes, Brian.
It looked like tomato cheddar and beef.
Brian?
Well, they looked that up. Do you guys remember, speaking of advertising to stoners, do you guys remember the burger commercial 12, maybe 15 years ago, there were like these two fucking burnout stoners, like just kind of staring at a lava lamp and go like, like Beavis and Butthead style.
Right.
But there was very clearly, you know, they were baked out of their mind. And that was like, I feel like that was one of the first ads really like, hey, stoners, we're coming for you.
Yeah. Was that Jack in the Box?
I think it was either them or like Carl's Jr.
I think it was.
Yeah. Between that and Fourth Meal, they really leaned into the stoners.
We have the ingredients. First, let me just hit 30-second Geico here. Right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on your car insurance, motorcycle, RV policies as well. It's 15% on top of the money you'd already be saving if you're smart enough to go with Geico. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com and learn more today at geico.com. All right, we got to bring it home. Max Pat, what is on that pizza?
The Domino's cheeseburger pizza is made with a tasty ketchup mustard sauce.
Oh! No.
Worse! Oh, no.
American cheese.
American cheese.
Oh, my God. Pizza. Worse.
Beef, fresh onions, diced tomatoes, shredded provolone, and cheddar cheese.
American cheese on your pizza with mustard
ketchup.
All right. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Sorry, Adam Ray. I just got to get on a schedule here and bring
this. No, you're fine. I was just going to do a shitty Jay Leno impression.
Bad boy. So
you're the right move to
Last 15 seconds with Simply Safe. No one should feel unsafe at home. Protect your home. Do it today. Get free shipping at simplysafe.com/Adam. There's two I's in there. That is simplysafe.com/Adam. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with Jeff Cesario and the director who the Oscar Pistorius story. They're doing a 30 for 30. So we talked to him about Oscar Pistorius for 30 for 30, and we get into some sports. And we'll do that right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Well, what a weekend of football we have coming up. And the most exciting thing, I think, that we have facing Adam is that the Cowboys are still the richest team in the NFL. According to Forbes magazine, Dallas Cowboys, once again, most valuable franchise at $5.7 billion. 14th year in a row, they also hold the title most valuable franchise in the world.
I am couple things. I'm going to redub myself America's comedian so I can get paid the most when I go out and do comedy. Because I think them dubbing themselves in the 70s, America's team, had to add a couple of zeros to that price tag. After all, you're buying America's team. What team?
Yeah.
Unless we move to Canada, what team would you really want to own? What franchise? I should say it's just Jeff and I today because we're going to talk to Daniel Gordon, who's a British director who did a four-part film, 30 for 30, for the life and trials of Oscar Pistorius. So it's a very double amputee who went on and won all the races. And you guys know Oscar's story, murder charges after that. So very interesting story. He's zooming in from Britain. There's a little time change here. So we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants. So Jeff and I will get on with our segment. And if Daniel joins us, then Daniel will join us and we will talk to him about this crazy story of Oscar Pistorius. Sorry, what was the price tag for the Cowboys?
$5.7 billion. And the Patriots were second at $4.4 billion, Giants third at $4.3 billion, Rams fourth at $4 billion, and the 49ers fifth at $3.8 billion. It descends from there. Apparently.
Can I say this? This is what I love about life. I'm sure Eddie DeBartolo Jr. got the 49ers handed to him, dropped in his lap, 7 years ago. And then he just saw the Forbes list and it's $3.7 billion and he's pissed. he's pissed off because it's below the Rams and they have more Super Bowls than the Rams do. And this is an outrage. That's what I love about the human condition.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all if you're living, you're competitive. You have to be.
Right.
What's sort of weird is the Rams have a $6 billion stadium and yet still are valued lower. Although here's what Forbes says. The Cowboys generate $360 million from luxury suite rentals, which is twice as much as anybody else in the league. So I don't know if it's cost of living in Texas. I don't know what the deal is down there. They have it figured out. You got to give them credit for that. Like you say, they stole America's team, which I always thought was like more leaning towards maybe the Packers, quite frankly.
Well, someone from Wisconsin would say that.
Of course.
Obviously, it's the Patriots because it's right in the title. Is Daniel, I'm told Daniel's ready. We're going to bring him in. This is Daniel Gordon. I think he's across the pond. Yeah, hi, Daniel Gordon. Good to meet you.
How are you?
Good. Let's maybe turn up your mic a little. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly well. Thank you.
I love 30 for 30s. I do not think I've missed a 30 for 30. I can't think of a subject I didn't enjoy on 30 for 30. And the Oscar Pistorius thing is a perfect subject for a four-part film series. Good looking, disabled, overcoming the odds, toast of the town, one of the most celebrated athletes in the world, then homicide, kills a beautiful blonde. I mean, every single component to an amazing story is right in this story. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you're writing the Hollywood script, everyone would say, well, that would never happen. You know, no matter what you try and do with it, it would never happen. And it is. It's absolutely that and more. And when we were first talking, this is my fourth 30 for 30 film. And when we started talking, which was 4 years ago, and this was following on from the success of OJ Made in America, and looking at potential sports stories where crime sort of, dissect the story. And at first, I actually genuinely wondered if there was enough to make a really long 3-hour-plus film. I said, give me 2 weeks. I'll come back to you. I'll do a bit of research. And 3 days later, I was back on the phone going, yeah, absolutely. I think this is an amazing story. It would have been amazing, actually, without the sort of true crime element at the end, that the story of overcoming the odds as a disabled athlete, breaking world records barely months after starting running, being banned from competing against able-bodied athletes because you're considered to be cheating by your world governing body, then being allowed to compete in the Olympics, not qualifying, and then qualifying 4 years later for London. That in itself is an amazing story. And then when you add, February 14th, 2013, yeah, you've got a mix of everything.
What is – so for me, everything's about – I sort of either motivation or follow the money. A lot of people think Oscar killed his beautiful blonde model girlfriend. Some say it was a mistake. I don't know if we definitively find out. But what was in it for him to do this? Why would, for those who think he murdered her, why would he possibly do that?
There are two fairly simple schools of thought, one on either end of the spectrum, and the state's case, and overwhelmingly people do believe this. They had an argument. He had a bad temper. He was a very controlling person. He had a history of controlling, bordering on abuse of his girlfriends. And he, middle of the night, they have an argument, whether it's over a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a rogue text, whatever you want to decide is the excuse. He follows her into the bathroom. She locks herself in. He's had enough, and he points and shoots. And that was the state's case from the beginning. And there was circumstantial evidence to back up an argument and a fight, which was later disproved as that evidence. But that's what they went with. So what's in it for him? Of course, there's nothing in it for him whatsoever. On that version, it's a moment of jealousy, madness. And he just fires, and he regrets that ever since. And on the other side is obviously Oscar's version from the very beginning, which, again, sometimes you buy into it wholeheartedly, and then sometimes you just dismiss it completely, which is that he thought there was a burglar. And I think you have to be either South African or have visited South Africa often to understand there are 20,000 homicides a year in South Africa. The invasion of your home is regular enough. Most people know someone whose home has been invaded, and it's never pleasant, and it's always armed. So if someone is breaking in, and in the film we start to understand he was mingling in some very debatable circles at the time, and he was in an awful lot of trouble with a few gangsters, and it's plausible that he thought that they were coming to get him and that burglar was coming to get him and would kill him. Therefore, he went straight to his firearm, which was by the side of his bed. That's something that's completely foreign to someone who's British. But then he arms himself. He's on his stumps as well, so he's very, you know, he's not walking steadily. And then in his version, everything's completely dark. He's disoriented. And every noise he hears is more evidence that there's an intruder, and therefore he shoots, and not absolutely not knowing who's behind that door, and then discovering for him what's the worst case scenario. There are two very, very different versions. And really, depending which part of the film you watch, depends where you end up.
Well, you've done more research on this than anyone on the planet. Did you draw a conclusion?
I drew a conclusion that it really depends which part of the film I watch. It's a real, you know, we'll never really know. Well, we'll never know, because there's only one person that was there on the night who's alive, and that's Oscar. He's told a consistent story all the way through. So we're either waiting for a moment where he turns around and said, actually, I was lying all along.
Right.
Or he carries on with that story. So we either believe him or we don't. And what was interesting was overwhelmingly the journalists who were there in the courtroom listening to every single moment and seeing the people. So a lot of although the court was televised, not all the witnesses were televised, but they were watching that and they were seeing body language and they were interpreting that. And overwhelmingly, those journalists bought Oscar's version, even though I think they may have doubted him at the beginning. Yeah. They went for Oscar's version.
What's Oscar's life like now? And is he damaged goods? Is he a pariah? Can he ever, you know, obviously he's losing endorsement deals. And you go from probably in the new world order, the order we're living in now, in terms of endorsements, a handicap champion right up there and maybe beyond LeBron James are people who are, you know, capable and champions in a way. I mean, the amount of money that guy left on the table after this incident is into the tens of millions, I'm sure. What is he doing now?
Well, they went into his legal bills. Right. So from what I understand, there isn't an awful lot of that money left. Obviously, the endorsements were withdrawn immediately. Before finding out, you know, the outcome of the case, which I thought was quite interesting, there was a lot of you know, the very high-level companies that did endorse him just dropped him immediately. And so his family, you know, is wealthy, very wealthy. His uncle particularly is wealthy. I'm sure his uncle will support him in some way, as and when he does come out. And there is no date determined as to when he's even eligible for parole. He's currently in a prison in Pretoria, South Africa. He received, in the end, a 15-year sentence. There were a couple of appeals as to the conviction and the length of sentence. So he's now serving 15 years, which I think on a parole would give him 2 to 3 years inside before he's eligible. That's not to say he'll be released. And there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, I guess, that points to the fact that he won't be released early because of the very political nature of gender-based violence in South Africa. He's the highest profile convicted.
So he's been in for how many years now?
Yeah, it's slightly complicated because he had house arrest as well, but he was convicted in 2014. He was sentenced to 15 years in 2017. So he's been inside for sort of three or four years, and he would ordinarily serve half of his 15 years before he was eligible.
So he may be out in 2023, 24?
Yeah, that's the considered opinion seems to be that that's around the time when he could be eligible. It could be sooner. It could also be much later. And, you know, in terms of his life afterwards, I mean, he's obviously one of the most infamous people in that country. He'll still be recognized. But I suspect he'll not. He'll just want to go for a very, very, very quiet life somewhere.
Wow. Very interesting. I mean, again, I couldn't think of a better subject for a documentary as someone who makes documentaries about boring subjects. I couldn't believe. I mean, that's why I have to do four parts. And I think combined maybe almost 5 hours or beyond five hours.
Nearly six hours.
It's a four-part film, The Life and Trials of Oscar Pistorius. It's coming up. This Sunday, September 27th, exclusively on ESPN Plus. Daniel, hope we can have you back and talk about upcoming projects and beyond.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Daniel Gordon. Appreciate it coming in from merry old London town. All right. Let me hit Bet Online here. The wait is finally over, and that means football is back. Well, you know football's back. Had some good games coming up. Rams at Bills, Texans at Steelers. I like Raiders at Patriots. I'd be nervous if I was either one of their fans about now. More to wager on than anywhere online, from spreads to totals to props. You get in on the season opening bonuses and wager on wins and division championship futures. It's all there. Head to Bet Online. Do it today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget, promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Adam, let's do our Bet the Farm Friday. Gina is taking Kansas City at Baltimore. The Ravens favored by 3.5, but Gina's sticking with her Chiefs. Brian, 49ers at the Giants, 49ers favored by 4. Brian is taking the Giants.
Oh, he's such a contrarian.
As you well are aware. Yeah, I'm going to take the Packers anyway over the Saints. Saints favored by 3. Your Rams are at the Bills. Bills favored by 2.5.
I may be a contrarian as well. I think the Bills are playing lights out ball. Rams are playing good. Maybe Bills are playing great. I'm gonna give away the 2.5. Say the Bills win it by a field goal.
Well, there you have it. Let's check next week. See who did what to who. I'm Jeff Cesario, and that's all for All Balls, All Sports.
All Balls, All Sports. Presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
Well, thanks to Bet Online for that. And I want to thank our guest, Adam Ray, for coming in here today. Daniel Gordon for getting into that Oscar Pistorius stuff. Jeff Cesario. And Gina Grandbull, Brian, until next time. It's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Thanks to Bet Online. And pick up your copy of Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.